Well, the move into this building has made me think long and hard about what all this means for us. This afternoon, we're dedicating this building for the work of the Lord. And what does it mean? You know that I've been asking these questions. And this is really, I think, a perfect time to ask those kinds of questions. What are we doing here? What is this all about? What should we be doing? What are we about as people, as Christians, as followers of Christ? The 17th, our first Sunday, we looked at the promise that God gave to the Israelites in the book of Isaiah while they were in captivity. He said, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." We know that he is continuing to do new things. He did this and he has intentions for how he's going to use this building. He's the one that did all of this. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the new ways that God wants us to show his amazing love to other people, to each other, to be felt and experienced through this church. This is one of the foundational ways that he desires LCF to be known, is by his love, our love for one another. And so my prayer for our congregation is that this fountain of God's love would well up from within this place and touch every person who comes here and many people around the world. That's one of my prayers for our congregation. But what else needs to happen? What else are we about? What else should we be known for? There were times over the past several years where I worried about the building project as we worked on it. Now, I know that we shouldn't worry about things, but sometimes I do. I don't know if you've seen that commercial of Dwayne Wade and Kevin Durant, if you know basketball, the basketball guys, where the one guy wakes up in the middle of the night, this sweat, he has this vision of this guy dunking on him. And sometimes I have worried about things. Now, you might ask, well, what are you worrying about? Is it the finances? Well, maybe here and there, yeah, I've worried about that a little, but it hasn't been the primary thing that has been in my mind, what I've been thinking about. Is it all the planning that has been involved in doing a project like this? Well, some. We've had challenges along the way in planning. But really, that hasn't been the thing that has occupied my thoughts the most. Is it the lighting or the sound wiring? Now, yeah, we worried a little bit about some of that, especially when we were in dangerous, precarious positions. But in reality, that hasn't been the primary thing that has occupied my thoughts as I thought about this project and as we've gone through completing it. Is it the parking, or is it the size of the building, or how we organize the rooms, or is it the colors that we've chosen, or the decorating, or is it any of those things? And I've thought about those things, but they haven't really been the primary thing that has occupied my mind. No, you know, the thing that I have worried about the most is, what if all of this work does not result in significant gospel growth? What if all the activity does not actually result in significant gospel growth? Now, what do you mean by gospel growth? Let me see if I can get a song queued up here for you.
Let me ride, swing down Cherry, stopping. Let me ride, rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Woo! Come and ease it, well, I've got a home on the other side. But don't you swing down Sweet Cherry, stopping. Let me ride,
swing, stopping.
Let me ride, rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come and ease it, well, I've got a home on the other side.
Swing, 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 swing.
Well,
Anyway, am I concerned about the growth of gospel music? Well, not really. You know, anybody can sing gospel music, almost. Does anybody know who that was? That was Elvis Presley, that's right. But yeah, I'm not really that concerned about the growth of gospel music. That's not what I'm concerned about, or that's not really what wakes me up at night sometimes. What wakes me up at night sometimes is that all of our activity, all of this work, could possibly result in a minimal spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's possible that all of the work that we do, all the things that we, I know there were, we were scrambling to get some things done this morning, some things weren't working, and it's possible that all of that activity and all of this could be done and not really impact the world significantly for the gospel. Now, that's the kind of thing that can keep me up at night thinking about sometimes. And I say that, it's not that I worry about the fact that the church will survive, that it will be strong. I know that Jesus is building the church. I believe that. It's His church. He's the one that's doing the work. He's the one that's carrying it out. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I believe that with all of my heart. It will not fail. But I also know that we often miss what God is doing. We often forget about what it's all about. And we start to drift sometimes. And when God is over here, working over here, and He's wanting to go this way, and we're starting to drift off in another direction, we get distracted. We forget often what it is we're about. And so I know that. Last Sunday we talked about the fact that without a foundation of love, we might as well close the doors of the church. Without love, we might as well just walk out of here right now and say, you know what? It's not going to accomplish a whole lot. We could use it for something else. Use the building for something else. Without love, we don't have much to work with. Paul calls out two ladies in the book of Philippians. I don't know if I would have liked to have been these two ladies, but he calls them out, Euodia and Syntyche. He calls them his friends and partners in the gospel, and yet they didn't get along. And Paul says, work with these ladies. You need to come together in agreement. Because he knew that without love, their ministry would be nothing. And so we talked about that last Sunday. It's possible to have great things going on, but to be completely off track. It's possible that that could happen. This week, I churned through some emails, and I planned some meetings, and I led some meetings, and I answered some phone calls. I looked through the mail, and as often the case, there were points along the way where I wondered, God, is all of this effectively proclaiming the gospel? Is this what you want me to be doing? Because here's the deal. If it isn't, then what good is it? And I think we often need to look at what we're doing and ask that question. Is this really accomplishing what God has put me here for? And that doesn't mean that everything directly relates. There's a lot of groundwork that takes place. If I think of all of the things that my wife does as secretary and as helping me in ministry, there's not a lot of where you could say, well, there's a direct sharing of the gospel from what Doris does. But all of those things help in the work of the gospel. And that's why we do them. That's why we do all of those things. That's the reason. And so last Sunday I asked, is LCF about love? But even before we ask that, I think we need to ask the question, is LCF about the gospel? because love is really a result of the gospel. Now, maybe you say, well, Rob, I don't know what you're worrying about, because of course we are about the gospel. Our small group has started to study the book of Revelation this past week, and this next week we're looking at the message that Jesus had for the seven churches. And I don't know if you've looked at those messages recently about Jesus' words to the seven churches, but they're a bit startling to me as I dig into this again and I think, what is he talking about? He says to the church of Ephesus, he says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. And I'm thinking, I can relate to that. You know, some of us are good at hard work, cranking things out. But then he goes on, he commends them for that. And then he says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. I don't really have a good lampstand, but I brought these candles as just a way of maybe getting an idea of picturing some lamps. And hopefully they don't slide off of there. But the lampstands, they signify the churches. It's possible to be doing a lot of things right and still miss the main thing. One of the other churches, the Church of Laodicea, didn't even think they needed anything. See, we got it going on. We are on track. We don't need anything. And Jesus says, you're lukewarm. And I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's kind of abrasive. That's kind of rough. So maybe worry isn't the right word for what I'm talking about, but I think it's quite easy for a group of believers to get off track. You know, I don't want to lose my first love. I don't want to be lukewarm. It happened, and it still happens. And I find it interesting and troubling, and I don't know what this means, but all of these seven churches, as I was looking on the map where they're located, you know where they're located? All seven of them. They're in the country of modern-day Turkey. I want you to think about Turkey for a moment. Do you know how many believers are in Turkey? It's 99% Muslim country. And so when I look at these, I don't know what if there's a connection there, but it makes me think, what happened to these churches? What happened to the witness in Turkey? If some of you know history, you would know some of the things that have happened. But is LCF about the gospel? I see your deeds, but what are you doing with the gospel? Do you think we've got it going on? What are we doing with the gospel? If you look at the New Testament, the word gospel is used over 100 times. And its simplest definition means good news. The gospel is the good news of God's love as shown through his Son Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. Of God's desire to redeem mankind and to bring them into a right relationship with him. It's the theme of the Bible. Everything in your Bible points to the gospel. And so you really need to understand the whole Word of God to really understand the depth of the gospel and the importance of the gospel. And yet it's so simple. Paul tells the Corinthian church, he says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ in him crucified. It's all about Jesus and the cross. If you remember, the Philippian jailer cries out to Paul and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" I'm sure there was probably more conversation and teaching in that situation, but what is recorded is a simple reply: "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." The thief on the cross, I don't know how much he knew about Jesus. I don't know how much teaching he sat under or how much he understood, but he understood the most important thing. He understood that Jesus was the Son of God. He believed in who Jesus was, and what did Jesus tell him that day? He said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." We are all about the gospel. It is our heart and soul. It is how we know what love is. It's everything to us as believers. Without the gospel, we are just sinners waiting for that inevitable day of judgment. And without the gospel, we have nothing to say, nothing to offer. We have no power. We have no authority. We have no grace. We have no forgiveness. The gospel is everything. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." Are we ashamed of the gospel? What do you think? Are there times where we're ashamed of it? It's just not something that we're ready to stand with. Do we believe that the power of God for salvation is in the gospel for all who believe? The proclamation of the gospel through both word and deed is what every believer is about, and it's what this church is about. I was going over the purposes of our church with my class last Sunday, and I missed one of them there. But I was going over these purposes, and I was a little disappointed because as I was looking through them, I saw that there was really no direct reference to the gospel in our purposes. How did that happen? It's not that all of these things aren't important, but I was disappointed. It's implied here, but I don't think it's clear enough. And so I decided to, I'm not sure what's happening to my slides. They're going by themselves. You're not supposed to see that one yet. All right, stay there. Okay. But if it's not about the gospel, we need to cut it out. It has a mind of its own. I think I put it in as a timed slide is what I probably did, so the timing is ending and it's moving on. But if we aren't about the gospel, what are we about? In Mark 16:15, you're familiar with this passage. It's another version of the Great Commission that Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Preach the good news. If we aren't about this, it's not that we're just missing a point of obedience. We're missing everything if we are not about the proclamation of the gospel. If my preaching isn't anchored in the gospel and people aren't given an opportunity to follow Jesus, I better hang it up. If we aren't communicating a passion for the gospel to our children and to our youth, then what is it that we're passing on to them? If our small groups are not about the gospel and they don't keep coming back to the gospel, then what are they about? Or if we as believers are not sharing the gospel to the world, then what in the world are we doing? I want you to take a moment. I want you to look at these four walls here. Just look around at the walls that we have in this auditorium. Now, we debated about how far out these walls should be. What size should this auditorium be, okay? And it moved around some. Those walls moved around some for a while. Hard to figure out. Well, how did we do that? Well, one of it just came down to money, okay? We only had so much money to build the space. And so that was a big reason that the walls are where they're at, okay? But I'd like to think of another reason of why the walls are where they're at. And I don't know how many people have thought of this, but I've thought of it often. That the reason the walls are there is, you know, we obviously can't get a huge group of people in here. But we don't intend to keep people here, okay? That isn't our objective, to get as many people as we can into this room, okay? That's not what we're about. No, what we're about is sending people into the world to talk about the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. And so I expect at some point these walls are going to start feeling a bit tight, maybe. I want you to think about, as those walls maybe start to feel tight, I want you to think about something. I think all that really means for us is that we need to escalate our plans for sending people out, whether it's to other parts of Ohio or other parts of Madison County or other parts of the world. That's what we're about. We're about proclaiming the gospel. And yes, there are many people in Madison County who need to hear the gospel, but those aren't the only people who need to hear. One of our churches in London, London Vineyard, I like what they have on their back wall as you leave the auditorium. They have this saying above there. Actually, they used to. I think it got painted over recently, but it said, "You are now entering the mission field." And so as you left the auditorium, you had this idea, you know, that I am to go out and proclaim this good news. It's not meant to just stay here in these walls. It's meant to go out. And so I like that saying. This past week, I got an email from Tom and Candace Mast, and maybe some of you have seen a similar one asking for prayer. Ah, that now the slide. That one. Yeah, it needs to go out. All the way from, if you see a little picture of a church covering the eastern half of the United States. But anyways, it needs to go out from here to all parts of the world. But this past week, I got an email from Tom and Candace, and there's a baptism coming up in the country of Laos. Did I say that right? Laos? I don't know how to say it. Anyway, a few years ago, Tom and Candace led a couple guys to the Lord. The guy on your left, Lon, and then the guy on the right, Pon. Pon, I think it is actually, in Thailand. And many of you know Tom and Candace have been in Thailand for several years as missionaries. Used to be a pastor here. Now, I just want to read what he had to say. He said, "This coming Sunday, April 14th, Lon and Pon plan to hold the first ever baptisms in their village." They're from the country of Laos. "Over the past few months, Lon has been sharing the gospel with his older sister and with Panche, Pon's older brother. Both of them have come to faith and are ready to be baptized. This is a very important day for them and for Lon's ministry in his home village. He has been praying and working towards the formation of a house church there. He's faced opposition and threats of police action, but so far nothing has happened. He realizes that the baptisms could bring repercussions, but he is also confident that it will attract more people to Christ. So as part of our prayer time today, I'd like us to pray for them. Now, their April 14th, I think, has already happened, because they're 24 hours ahead of us. But we still need to pray for them. Now, it's not if you have the gift of evangelism or preaching or teaching. It's not about whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, or whether you're in Thailand or whether you're in London, Ohio. It's not whether it's easy or hard, or whether there are challenges of police action or whether there aren't. If you're a believer and a follower of Christ, your life is about the gospel. Our church is about the gospel. And the question is simply, who will you share it with and how will you share it? That's really the only question for believers. Who will it be and how will it, you do it? Because we all do it differently. God has made us all different kinds of people. The truth remains the same, but how we present it and how we approach people is unique to how we are. I want to close with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Of course, this is Paul in a letter to the Corinthian church. He says, "To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Do you love the Lord your God? Do you love Jesus? Do you love the gospel? What will you do to make the message known? What's it worth to you? What is it worth to you? Is this what we are about? Is this the heart and soul of what we do as believers? All of the activity that we put ourselves into, is this the ultimate end? Is the proclamation, the living out in word and in deed of the gospel? I don't want to be a church, that church that Jesus talked about, the possibility that maybe at some point, even though they did amazing things, deeds, carried out all kinds of things, but they forgot their first love. I don't want to be that kind of church where God says, you know, your lampstand is going to be removed. Now, I don't say that. I talked about being worried about things. I'm not worried about my salvation. I'm not worried about God's church being victorious. But I am concerned about myself. That I would run the race with everything that I have. And that I would keep my eyes. That I would keep my eyes on the goal. That they wouldn't shift to other things. Because, you know, I believe that there's probably quite a few churches like this whose lampstand has been removed. There is no longer a witness from that church for the gospel, whether the church still exists and functions or whether it's gone. Both can be the case. But there are churches where the lampstand has been removed. It doesn't mean it can't be put back, I don't think, but it's been removed. I don't want to be that kind of church. In fact, I want to be a church where the lampstand stays. I want to be a church, a group of believers who shine like stars in the universe. You know that passage in Philippians. They shine like stars in the universe as they do what? What does it say? It says, as they hold out the word of truth, which is described in other places as the gospel of our salvation. That's the kind of church that I want to be, a place that holds out the truth like stars in the universe. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much as I have studied this week. You have burned into my heart a renewed vision and passion for the gospel. And Lord, I pray that we as a church would renew our vision, our purpose, our goal, why we're here, that we would hold out, faithfully hold out the gospel, that we would return, if we need to our first love, our love for you, our love for your word, our love for the truth, and for the gospel. And Lord, I pray that whenever we open our mouths, that words would be given to us to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which we are ambassadors. That we would boldly declare the truth, that we would have compassion for the people around us, that they might know what can set them free. So Lord, I just thank you for this truth that is so foundational for us. I thank you for the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy that we experience through what Jesus did on the cross for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.